At this time, I'd like to introduce our presenter for today, Kathy Converse. Kathy's a Vermonter. She attended the universities of Connecticut and Massachusetts and has a BS in Natural Resources Conservation and an MS and PhD in Fisheries and Wildlife Biology. She also has an RN degree from the University of Vermont Health Center. Kathy worked for the U.S. Department of Interior as a wildlife disease specialist at the National Wildlife Health Research Center. I believe that's here in Madison. She conducted investigations of disease events in free-living wildlife throughout the United States, and I believe some of them were frogs. After retirement, Kathy worked as a scientist emeritus for many years, and she tutored middle school and high school students, kids in math and science. She's been a really active member of Prairie since joining in 1996. She's held the position of finance chair or treasurer for a whole 12 years altogether. And she's also served as social action chair, green sanctuary chair, and has been a lay minister. Another specialty has been as a mover and shaker for the pre-holiday Nifty Gifty event for children, which she's participated in for probably most of the time she's been a member. Kathy's also a fabulous knitter. She loves gardening, photography, watercolor painting, fishing, hiking, and spending time with her family. Please welcome Kathy Converse, who will be presenting our service, How Prairie UU Members and Friends Are Tending the Earth, with reflections by Rachel Carson. Take it away, Kathy.
Good morning. As she had said, the title is How Prairie Members and Friends Are Tending the Earth, with reflections by Rachel Carson, who is one of a little bit about Rachel Carson before we continue. She did live from the 40s into the 60s. She was a biologist and an environmentalist and created a lot of awareness against pesticides, particularly with her book, Silent Spring. Ironically, she did die of cancer. And she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So it's impossible to summarize all the amazing work that our dedicated members and friends have done. And I really feel that it's a healing of our hearts and minds, a lot of the things that we do. And I requested photos and comments, and these have been submitted to me by friends, members and friends. I had to take the liberty a couple times to find some pictures. And I did omit last names to protect privacy. Those who dwell as scientists or laymen among the beauties and mysteries of the earth are never alone or weary of life. Rachel Carson. Probably one of the strongest activities, at least probably given that it's spring and summer and a lot of people are quarantined and have plenty of time to garden this year. Starting first with community gardens, we have people involved with several different communities. Here on the right is Barb Park, and on the bottom, one of her plots. And bottom is Aunt Mary's. As you notice, they have big areas. They're in the Marlboro Community Gardens. They have tilled and untilled areas. And as you know, in the bottom one of Mary's, that she has used mulch both for reducing weeds and for holding moisture in the soil. And as I said, Barb also used tilled and untilled plots. Here we have Carl with his mother at Eagle Heights Community Gardens, where they at one time did have their gardens. And down here, this is Doug at the Troy Gardens, where he currently is gardening. And he looks very happy with his first rather large basket of salad greens for the spring. There's also many gardens out of the community at home. Again, Barb and Bob have had gardens for many years, and they've also planted pollinator, butterfly, and hummingbird friendly plants in their front garden. And this shows a common buckeye butterfly in one of their gardens. And Bob has also dug a rain garden that collects rainwater to aid in recharging the groundwater. Down here, Renee and Jason started a garden in the yard in pots this year, and they feel it's doing well, and they have a little helper here, Coraline. And over Kathy and Randy, I have a small urban vegetable and herb garden, which is probably primarily therapeutic. And Karen and Andy have been growing more food plants this year in their garden, and they have a lot of native plants. More gardens, we have Holly's living in a new house this year, and she's put in raised beds in the front that are doing very well. John and Suzanne are also in a new home and have put raised beds in their yard, and that's pretty darn amazing looking lettuce and basil. So real long-term gardeners, Al and Eileen have had gardens for a long time. Their house is right here behind Eileen's. Their whole front yard is a rain garden. And in their backyard, they have a large vegetable garden, and they are very nice, both as other people in community gardens, at sharing some of their produce. Carl and Paula have also, this is their whole backyard, have raised beds and have gardened, and they have not only a vegetable garden, they also have a native prairie plants garden. Those who contemplate the beauty of the earth find reserves of strength that will endure as long as life lasts. Rachel Carson. Continuing with gardens, but looking more a little in yards, we have here with Morris and Alice have planted multiple species in to reduce soil erosion. Their yard slopes down into neighbors' yards on into Monona. And they they've tried to reduce both invasive and non-native plants, and they feel it's a pretty welcome environment for local animals. Ken and Judy have both rain and butterfly gardens, and both of them receive all the water and runoff from the front of their house here. Margaret has used shade-loving plants to not only help stabilize her yard, but also to provide a great deal of beauty. Kathy and Randy have removed all grass from their front and backyards for no mowing and no fuel use. And most of the people that garden and did state that they don't use chemicals in the yard and garden. So all these wonderful gardens and yards, be they large, small, community, home, vegetable, rain, butterfly, hummingbird, they all provide us with many things like fresh food, food for preserving, and you look here, it shows Peggy with an armload of canned peaches. And both Amy and Bob and Carl and Paula have chickens, raised chickens, and produce many eggs. And this is a CSA from Julie and Jim, and many members mentioned that they belong to CSA. Surprisingly, even some members who have very large gardens, community gardens, and gardens at home, such as Bob and Barb, also still support being a member of CSAs. This is produce from Carl and Paula's garden. And many of gardens also are just nice to look at because they produce flowers. Probably the second to gardening was recycling, composting. Many, many people mentioned that they do composting of their food materials as well as leaves and other yard waste. Some of note is Penny has submitted, this is a closet in her kitchen, and she has composting worms living here. And they take all of her kitchen scraps, turn it into compost and fish food. Several people have mentioned rain barrels, and Bob Park even made his own. This rain barrel of Kathy and Randy's was actually purchased and installed via a prairie auction offering by Doug, and it waters our complete garden. And this is just some examples of a couple of the different composting equipment and methods from Julie and Jim, and from Morris has a handy one here that he can crank. And Harlan had chose gerbils as pets because they're excellent shredders of both paper and cardboard. And this work by these gerbils was also offered in the Prairie Auction, and people have purchased to get some paper shredding done. If a child is to keep alive his inborn sense of wonder, he needs the companionship of at least one adult who can share it, rediscovering with him the joy, excitement, and mystery of the world we live in. Richard Carson. Many prairie folks who happen to, if they happen to own homes, have done some converting for alternative energy. Barb and Bob Park, you see up here on the top, they have a solar hot water collector, and they also have a high efficiency gas space heater installed in their fireplace, so they can wait a little later in the fall to turn the furnace on, and then in the spring turn it off a little earlier. Ken and Judy save about half of their hot water cost with their solar panel. They also added foam insulation when they were residing their house this past year. Disa and Richard have now completed their new home, and they used house insulation, windows, HVAC equipment, everything possible to reduce energy needs. They have 24 solar panels, and they provide all the electricity for their house and for their electric car. In fact, they've been selling extra solar production, energy production to MG&E. Doug is shown here in a booth at the Midwest Renewable Energy Fair. It's this white box in the back. He designed and made a portable biodigester to produce renewable gas. And in this booth at the fair, he was demonstrating how to cook with it. As for transportation, conserving fuels, Kent uses a bike whenever possible, and he's even taken a 2,700-mile adventure. A lot of gas saved there. Many people reported riding bikes whenever possible, and particularly now, in this time of quarantine, people feel they have been riding bikes more than usual. Carl and Paula have electric bikes also. This is their daughter Toby on one of the electric bikes. Jim and Julie use an electric lawnmower to reduce fuel use. And Dan and others ride public buses whenever possible. John and Nancy have an electric car. They've driven 3,700 miles in the past year and have saved 336 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Pretty amazing. Their electric bikes are 100% solar powered for the past 2 years. Kathy and Randy don't have air conditioning, but they have window quilts, and the window quilts help keep out the extremes of either hot or cold throughout the year. Katrina and Tony have an electric car, and they haven't bought gas in a year. Wish I could say that. Bob and Bob have a plug-in Prius, which has both options. Jim and Julie have joined the Sierra Club Beyond Coal to help campaign for replacing the dirtiest fuel source. The question is whether any civilization can wage relentless war on life without destroying itself and without losing the right to be called civilized. Rachel Carson. The sidewalk says, science has spoken, it's time to listen. There were endless home conservation measures. I will try to highlight on some of them. This shows Paula and Toby out shoveling snow, so not using a snow blower. They are using body fuel and getting exercise in the process. Mary had attended a workshop at the Arboretum, and they were talking about use of salt. And what she holds in her hand here, this small container is enough salt to do a 20-foot driveway. And she's campaigned to teach others about this reduced salt use and has registered a complaint with the city of Madison about reckless salt use. Most people mentioned using efficient thermostats, in energy efficient appliances. Over here, we have a plastic bag dryer that Martin made so that if plastic bags are used, they can be washed and reused, which saves collecting more. Carl and Paula and others hang clothes to dry outside. And not just, we think of it in the summer, but not just in the summer, they also hang their clothes to dry inside in the winter. And the advantage, another advantage of this is that this gets humidity into houses that are pretty usually dry in the winter due to heat. More home conservation. Randy and Kathy use cloth napkins, cloth towels, and are very choosy about buying safe cleaning solutions and make their own soap. They're also in the process of replacing all light bulbs with LED, as many others mentioned both of these activities. We have Ron here demonstrating their use of cotton napkins, and then also the use of cloth bags, which many people do. And Ron here is shaving with a tube of shaving cream to avoid buying and having to recycle aerosols. Lots of people mentioned conserving water in showers, brushing teeth, doing dishes. A couple of families have installed low flow toilets, and Mary sent a picture that she washes her whole car with one bucket of water. More recycling. Everybody seems to recycle. That's really wonderful. Morris and Alice have submitted this picture of 65 cell phones that they had recently put in for recycle. Harlan repurposed a sweater to make a dog bed for his grandmother. Barb and Ron and many others recycle items to either recycling plant or to local stores like St. Vinny's, Habitat Restore, and Goodwill, as well as purchase items at those places. Here's a picture of Randy during quarantine pricing Habitat Restore items in our dining room at home. There was something infinitely healing in the repeated refrains of nature, the assurance that dawn comes after night and spring comes after winter. Rachel Carson. On to more recycling. This is more community recycling. In the RE program in the spring, we've had most years a spring cleanup. And the young people go out and with bags and collect. This shows the activity of Nifty Gifty is in the fall, kids making gifts with recycled and repurposing items. The king of all recyclers here, Gary, has been known for his bicycling recycling efforts throughout Madison. He has been noted in several written articles and features. He has historically has collected 25 to 30,000 cans a year. With 1 year, he has topped, he collected 250,000 cans. Amazing effort for one person. This isn't Rick, but Rick and Erlen had listed, they've worked really hard, almost every conservation effort that I have mentioned. And one in particular I wanted to quote because I thought it was quite interesting. Rick had written, while dog walking with rubber boots and gloves, a utility rake, and a 5-gallon bucket, Rick spent a year cleaning garbage and trash from the wooded undergrowth, marshes, lake, and river shores of Fish Camp County Park. Among his finds was an airplane propeller, axe, car batteries, pornographic tapes and magazines, rolls of wire, lumber from docks, rusted gas cans, fishing line, thousands of cans, plastic shotgun column wads, bottle caps and pop tops, cigarette butts, duck decoys, and over 60 bobbers and lures. So this just shows what the efforts of one person can be. And I know that Mary and others intermittently go out with bags and also collect from roadsides and public areas. We have some more community volunteers. Karen is the coordinator of the native plant sale at UW Arboretum, and so she gets to relate to thousands of gardeners. This year being a year of quarantine, she only did 5,000 orders. That's pretty impressive. Gary, again, has spent years of conducting controlled burns of prairies and other lands in conservation. And he now burns our native prairie that's in front of our building. Mary and Barb are both on the Marlboro Community Garden Management Committee, and this is a picture of them in a Zoom Garden Committee meeting. And Aiden, one of our high school youth, was at Pine Ridge Reservation last fall, and his group worked on winterizing trailer homes. This reduced both the energy and money they needed to keep their homes warm and safe. By acquiescing in an act that causes such suffering to a living creature, who among us is not diminished? Rachel Carson. I think that most prairie members are out there really making efforts to care for other living creatures. Suzanne and John had built this wonderful wire sculpture tree next to their bird feeder. And we have Paula filling a bird feeders during winter. And as Carl says, you may not get the guest you expected as seen by this flying squirrel living in their bird blocks. And this respect for animals is carried out by people staying safe distances when they're encountering wild, free, roaming wildlife. Of course, probably everybody would want to stay away from the bear here. And then John is currently pursuing a Wisconsin DNR license to rehabilitate wildlife and being mentored in the care of gray flying and 13 striped brown squirrels. These are some pictures of some rescued brown squirrels he had helped raise. And finally, looking at community jobs, businesses, and also the UUA. Orange and Dean, as local business owners, have stated that they're very conscious of the impact of what they sell in the world. Is it well made so it will last? Is it excessively packaged? Does it feature any recycled or recyclable material? Can we source it in our region and or from a small maker? They encourage consumers to buy environmentally friendly products such as reusable straws and shopping bags for taking to the grocery store, and chemical-free cleaning products. They're happy to be able to introduce this to their customers. Many members are also members of local food co-ops, and some people do all of their shopping through the co-ops. And then also a lot of people do go to the farmers markets. Carl had mentioned during his work time through the conservation easement program, he helped save this farm, this particular farm, one of the many farms he saved through this program. He said this farm here was actually built by Welsh stonemasons in 1881. So it was wonderful that they could save that. The UUA has a working group called Ministry for the Earth. Many prairie members had careers in natural resources, and given all the interest that you've shown with these submissions, I think I would suggest going on the UUA site and looking up the Ministry for the Earth programs. There's some that are pretty wonderful, and people might be interested in joining. So I'm not going to continue, but this just gives you some sense of all of the different groups, organizations that people have volunteered for, contributed money to, continue to support. To mention a few, Cindy mentioned that she has, with the Rainforest Rescue, become an official land conservator. Carl worked with the Groundswell Conservancy during his job and continues now in his retirement for helping to protect special places. The Nature Conservancy has honored Gary and Pam as legacy members, living their values. And we have two master gardeners, and Barb and Karen. And Barb currently volunteers for the Old Brick Garden to help answer people's questions about plants. So there were so many contributions that I have tried to list, and all I would say is that I hope we keep up our amazing efforts, and I would love to have some of these people I featured on their own give some programs talking about all of the work that they have done. One way to open your eyes is to ask yourself, what if I had never seen this before? What if I knew I would never see it again? Rachel Carson. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.